First, if we want lessons in enjoying life, we can learn a lot from the French and their concept of joie de vivre, the French term that translates loosely to joy of living. That's according to our next guest, who has spent years living in France and wants to share what she's learned about the French approach to food, work, art, and even time, and how it can increase the joy we experience in day-to-day life. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever lived or worked or vacationed in France? What did you like or dislike, or what puzzled you about French culture? How do you bring joy, joie de vivre, into your life? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Kathy Yandell is a professor of French and Francophone studies at Carleton College in Minnesota. She's the author and editor of books about French culture, literature, and history. Her latest book is called The French Art of Living Well, Finding Joie de Vivre in the Everyday World. She's giving a presentation at Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee tonight at 6:30. Kathy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
I apologize at the outset for my French pronunciation. Now, you say joie de vivre is a uniquely French concept. How do you try to translate that into American for us?
Well, I think you did a good job. I think joie de vivre, literally joy of living, is a pretty good start. But I find it interesting that even the English language dictionary and Webster's, you see joie de vivre as an English word because they can't quite translate all of the concepts that are bound up in that. So I find that really amusing, which is actually what got me onto the subject in the first place.
And you've been so close to France for so many years, but it wasn't always that way. Can you tell us about your first experience getting off, literally off a boat into France as an American? What struck you at first?
Well, since I come from New Mexico, first of all, taking a ship over, which was what students did. I was on one of the last crossings of the SS France. And when we then were taken to Paris and I got out, it was really like absolutely discovery of this big, big world, people rushing by looking so elegant. And I felt like my broom-colored, blonde, boring self stepping into this new world. So it was quite a shock for my New Mexico culture, but I very quickly learned to love it.
For Americans, I think sometimes there's admiration, yes, for France, but sometimes there's, I think, mockery. And there's also intimidation. Like you were just saying, it's so sophisticated and we can't hold up. Can you make the case that it's worth looking beyond those stereotypes and learning from the French daily life?
Absolutely. And I also think that France has changed a lot. You used to hear people saying, oh, the Parisians are so, they're not polite to you and they're so dismissive. And now I think that, you know, 20, 30 years later, they're very much more patient. But I do think, yes, especially when you get into family life and life with friends, it's a very different culture from what you might see in the more just elegant images, which are still present in the street, of course.
Talking to Kathy Yandell, author of The French Art of Living Well, Finding Joie de Vivre in the Everyday World, getting some daily life lessons from her time in France. You can join in if you have thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. All right, Kathy, I want to start digging into specifics here. And I'm going to start by confessing that earlier today I committed a crime under French law. I ate my lunch at my desk here at work. French law says no, right? You can't do that.
That's exactly right. The idea being that when you're at work, you work better when you separate, you know, the relaxation time. So you're encouraged to get away. I mean, by law, you're supposed to get away from your desk. Sometimes companies have cafeterias, but very frequently people will just go to a nearby cafe and have lunch away from work. Now, they made some exceptions during COVID, and I need to see whether they've continued to suspend the law or not. But absolutely, it is still on the French books that you cannot eat lunch at your place of work, at your desk.
And that really speaks to a different attitude, right, toward work in France versus here in the United States. What kind of lessons do you hope we could take from that and other examples of how France approaches work and our lives outside of work?
Well, I think the lunch example is a very good one for the idea of mini vacations, right? So that even within the course of one single day, you have to take some time out. You have to take a breath, have to get away. Maybe the sort of physical pleasures of eating or even having a little coffee at the end, the little tiny French espresso coffees, and all the while being talking with people and just enjoying a moment that isn't just caught up in the daily schedule. And I think we Americans are not quite as good at that as being able to separate these different aspects of our lives, and they all sort of blur together.
Let's stay with the food theme. Another thing, and again, I'm very un-French in this way. When I go out to a restaurant, I want my food, I eat my food, I leave the restaurant. There's a very different attitude, it seems, from your writing in France when it comes to how food is eaten and how long one might take to do it.
Yes, that's true. I mean, especially at weddings, but we won't even go into that. I mean, those literally last all night. But just even for a daily dinner, for example, one of the examples I always think of is when you go to a restaurant in this country, sometimes the waiter will come around and just whisk away your plate, right? And even if other people at the table haven't finished, the idea is we want to clear this off. We want to get this finished. And the nice thing about France is they assume it's much more of a communitarian kind of thing. So it's not the individual finishing a plate that matters. It's that everyone at the table has finished the plate that matters. And so you're really reminded that it's a communal experience all the time. And I think maybe that's why you're supposed to get away from your desk as well, so that you can actually commune and communicate with others.
And actually, I do want to
That's
get into
part of
that.
the experience.
I do want to get into that wedding because one of your early experiences in France, you were not prepared for what went into a French wedding and the food therein. Could you share that experience with us?
Right. Well, so it was at a country home, and it was really beautiful, and there was a terrace, and we were all outside, spread out, and there was champagne and little hors d'oeuvres, and I thought, oh, this is just so wonderful. So we're having lots of hors d'oeuvres and champagne, and then we sit down, and we have a Lyonnais specialty, which is quenelle, and they're these little sort of dumplings with a Nantua sauce that was so wonderful. And I thought, oh, that's been a great meal. Now let's wait for the dessert. But no, that wasn't even the main course. And so the courses kept coming with the cheese. And by this time, I'm absolutely winding down and just beginning to sort of peck at the food. And then comes the big wedding pièce montée, which is kind of like a wedding cake made of different pastries. Anyway, I learned the lesson that you really need to pace yourself. But I also learned that part of the pleasure is just spending the evening discussing and exchanging and tasting the different dishes as they go by. So, yes, I learned quite a bit on that evening. And then dancing, of course, that comes later
You
for
also,
those who can move.
right. Now you also look spend some time looking at art in France, and you see contrasts in how French people and their attitudes toward art go, and Americans. Compare and contrast for us the how we look at art.
Well, obviously there are different aspects of this, and I would say that the French have art really around them all the time. So, even in the metro, there'll be certain stations that will have different artistic works just displayed. And so I think also with the age of the buildings that are all around them, I'm talking about Paris right now, it's like art on every corner in some ways. And I think at least among my French friends, the idea of going to museums and taking in, I mean, even cinema is seen, even films are seen as, not only what you do with Netflix, but definitely the experience of going to the cinema and then discussing it at great length afterwards. So again, it becomes a kind of a community experience. So I find that art is a little more integrated into daily life. One summer recently, I was there and they were doing outdoor readings in parks, and they were just free and they were sponsored by a local theater. And that sort of thing just pops up kind of everywhere.
We're talking to Kathy Yandell about her new book, The French Art of Living Well, Finding Joie de Vivre in the Everyday World. Kathy's speaking at Boswell Books in Milwaukee tonight at 6:30. You can join the conversation here at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions for our guest about what she experienced in France, what she hopes to bring home to American culture? Have you been to France for work, with family, for a vacation? Was there something there that struck you as different, maybe changed the way you live your life here in the United States? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Kathy Yandell about her new book. It's called The French Art of Living Well, Finding Joie de Vivre in the Everyday World. Kathy's speaking in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee at Boswell Books today at 6:30. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Based on what you've heard, do you do things similar to what our guest is talking about in France? Do you like long, long meals at restaurants where the staff don't pick up your plates the moment you finish that last crumb of food? Do you find little ways to take time away from work, say, to find something to enjoy that little thing? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. You talk in the book, Kathy, about French attitudes toward activity and exercise. Now, our producer, Colleen Leahy, studied abroad in a small town in Brittany when she was in high school, and she would go on jogs a few times a week, swim laps at a local pool, and people thought she was super athletic there in France. She said, Colleen est très sportif. Colleen never saw other people jogging and got weird looks, she says. I don't know, do French people make less of a distinction between this is exercise and this is not exercise?
That's such a good question, Rob, and it's changed a lot in recent years. I mean, right now there's a humongous push because of the Olympics, and I can't quite figure out why it is that all of a sudden France wants its own population to be more sporty, but I talk about this in the book, lots of new sort of parks with exercise equipment and so on have opened up throughout Paris and throughout France. But I also want to say that there are loads of people, men, women, older, younger, running in parks now. And literally 5, 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. So I think, I don't know whether you could argue that it would be the Americanization of French culture, or maybe just the fact that having such sedentary jobs as many of us do, there's much more a push towards sports now, or if not sports, at least health culture where you're running or going to the gym or something like that. So I think Colleen's experience was really typical. I don't know how long it was ago, but in recent years, that's really changing. Some of my students, female students, even joined some female soccer teams on the outskirts of Paris. And they said there was one distinction, and that is that they found that they were a little more aggressive on the field than the French women. But the French women, you know, in the World Cup, I haven't followed the latest games, but they're a very strong team now, too. So I think the times they are changing.
And Kathy, you point toward throughout the book, there are tensions in France about migration and immigration, as there are here in the United States. You point to that, though, in many ways as a strength of France and to so many of the things we talk about, whether it's food or art or culture or athletics, the powerful role of immigrants in French culture. Can you talk about that a little?
Yes. After the Second World War and then again after the War of Algerian Independence, a lot of people from Northern Africa who were, you know, in colonialized French countries, like particularly Morocco, but Algeria and Tunisia as well, many of them, and some from sub-Saharan Africa as well, have immigrated to France. And I really believe that it's made it a much richer country. I have a friend who recently said, without a hint of irony, that couscous is a fully French dish. Well, yes, it's become a French dish, but it's actually a North African dish, but it's just worked its way in French culture. And I think the same can be said about hai, which is a type of singing from North Africa. And one of the things I mentioned in the book is that I think it's 4 out of the past 6 years, an African origin baker has won the baguette contest sponsored by the Élysée, which is like the White House in the US. And it's a blind tasting, and all these very specialized bakers from all over France taste these breads. And the one that wins will get to supply the White House or the Élysée for a year. And 4 out of 6 times, it's been an African origin person. So I find that really interesting and heartwarming that the culture is getting so much richer by these immigrants. I'm not saying that there aren't tensions. I'm not saying that it isn't difficult, and also that there aren't certain people who do not like the idea of having so many immigrants. But I am saying that from my perspective, it has been a good thing.
On a related note, here in the United States, we have ongoing debates about how we tackle historical injustices, slavery and segregation, for example. You find at least some positive examples of how France talks about its history. What do you see there?
Well, there's a commission that Macron put into effect a few years ago to look into the Algerian War, for example, because part of the problem of that is a lot of censorship on both sides, not to know what was happening on the other side. But particularly in France, having covered up the torture that took place during the Algerian War of Independence. And they think that the way to healing is, of course, not to sort of pull the wool over anyone's eyes on that and to expose what really did happen. So that commission, the first iteration of that commission, I think, did not accomplish very much, but there's yet another one working on it so that the two sides can finally come together and talk about what really happened, with the idea, I think, a little bit like what happened in Rwanda, of getting beyond those conflicts. So I guess, like many countries, France is working on that. It is something that's in the forefront of their conversations, as well as some restitution of art objects, for example, that were more or less stolen from these different regimes during the colonial period, and some of which are now being returned to the countries in question.
Talking to Kathy Yandell, author of The French Art of Living Well, Finding Joie de Vivre in the Everyday World. Now, Kathy, I gave a couple of examples in which I'm very un-French. I eat lunch at my desk sometimes. I blow through the restaurant meal really fast and then get out. One thing that did resonate with me, you point toward embracing the small pleasures in life. And that is something I definitely try to do, whether it's just, a cup of coffee or something like that, really savoring those little things to find that joy. Could you talk about that a little?
Yes, it's just little moments of joy, and there have been several books kind of thinking about this in France recently, but it's something that I saw in France long ago, of just taking the time to take a moment to appreciate this particular view. And that's what I was talking about, art as well, or this particular taste, or this particular feeling of the weather. So very much that pleasure can be found not only in these more grandiose artistic things, or the absolute beauty of a mountain view or something, but can be found in these little, often sensual moments having to do with the senses.
Kathy, on a practical note, you spend obviously much of your time here in the United States, but how do you take some of these joie de vivre lessons you learned in France and put them into practice here in the United States, where sometimes our attitudes might be stumbling blocks to try to live that way?
Right. And I think everyone who comes back from France or from some country that they admire in some ways might adapt and adopt those particular rituals or ideas. But I know in family life, particularly, we always made a point of having dinner and as much as we possibly could, not rushing through it, because that was a time of day to sort of have our daughters say what had happened during the week and so on. And that's not always possible because kids in this country have soccer practice and they have a band or orchestra or they have theater, a million things. But we try to keep that a little bit sacrosanct. And I know other kids in the neighborhood would, grab their meals and run back outside. But we tried to have that as our one time that we could check in. And that sort of came from my French family, really trying to honor dinner time. That's one little example. Another example is just trying to incorporate ways of looking into our lives, ways of looking at art, ways of appreciating what you're seeing and talking about what you're seeing. Because I think in this country with our children, that's another thing that I learned about sort of joie de vivre, and it sounds counterintuitive, but it's that French kids are actually taught to argue and they're taught to question what's told them, even if it's by their parents in some ways. So you're having, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And that sounds like that you're learning to fight back or something. But what it ends up being is that they then know that their opinions are valued, but they have to defend them. And so I think that leads to a kind of a sense of self that's a little bit different from the one that we give our children when we say, oh, you think that? Oh, that's nice, rather than challenging them, which I think leads them to have more autonomy, which is why I think French 18-year-olds, for example, seem a lot older than American 18-year-olds.
Kathy, we'll leave it there. Have a great visit to Wisconsin, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Kathy Yandell, professor of French and Francophone Studies at Carleton College, author of the book, The French Art of Living Well, Finding Joie de Vivre in the Everyday World. If you're in Milwaukee, you can see her tonight at Boswell Books at 6:30.